Chapter 161. Accepted into the program. Upon hearing those words, Quincy completely fell apart. She lay weakly against Benedict, her eyes drooping with a profound sense of resentment. "Callistel, how could you be so ruthless? I'm your sister. What's wrong with me taking your work? Why must you do this to me?" Deep within Quincy's heart, she swore that if given the chance, she would make Callista suffer humiliation 10,000 times worse than what she had experienced that day. Barry's decision, too, dealt a devastating blow to Yelena. Is he going to expel Quincy? No. Callista should be the one getting expelled. Bayview University boasted one of the country's top medical faculties. It had taken her quite some effort to secure Quincy's guaranteed admission into the university. Which medical school would still be willing to accept Quincy if she's expelled from here? And how would she secure a job at the family business after graduation? The more she dwelled on it, the angrier Yelena became. All of a sudden, she let out a bizarre cry and charged in Callista's direction. It was evident to everyone that Yelena was about to act, yet Callista remained composed. In an instant, Emmett, drenched in sweat, positioned himself protectively in front of her. Barry, too, hurried over to mediate the situation. Callista instantly noticed that Yelena's nails were filed to sharp points, clearly not for aesthetics. It was apparent that Yelena was fully intent on disfiguring her face. Callista narrowed her eyes, watching as Yelena approached with a threatening gesture. However, two burly men held her back, preventing any further advance. Despite the monstrous fury in her gaze, there was nothing she could do. Callista's laughter in response immediately fueled Yelena's anger. "Callista! You heartless wretch! Go to hell!" The spectators, initially engrossed in the drama, couldn't help but gasp at this point. The curse was not something they would expect to hear in a family argument. What kind of parents could utter such words to their children? Benedict stepped in and pulled Yelena away, swiftly giving her a slap across her face. "Calm down." His face was flushed with anger. He had slapped Yelena so hard that she was knocked to the ground. Upon seeing this, Quincy hurried over and threw herself into Yelena's arms, crying with regret. "Dad. This is all my fault. Don't take it out on Mom." Quincy was acutely aware that within the Stafford family, Yelena was the only one who truly cared for her. She understood that, when the moment was right, she needed to demonstrate to Yelena that she deserved her love more. As expected, Yelena couldn't bear to see her daughter in such a miserable state. She covered her face, tears welling up in her eyes as she looked at Benedict, her voice filled with resentment. "Fine. It seems you only consider Callista as your precious daughter, right? Go ahead, hit us. Kill us if you want. I know you never liked Ma. You only married Ma nut of Karnan's ability to quina ume nanner mant in ha in this world." Where Benedict, often oblivious, had always felt guilty for impregnating Yelena. Her bringing this up not only made him feel awkward but also gave Hinz a splitting headache. Meanwhile, Yelena and Quincy were already huddled together, crying desperately. Suddenly, Callista strode confidently toward Yelena while clapping her hands, exuding an air of victory. Despite her arrogance, Callista's demeanor commanded respect, leaving no room for dislike. Her smile and gaze sent a shiver down the spine of onlookers. "You know what?" Callista crossed his arms and directed his attention to Yelena. "What I did today was for Quincy's benefit. Look at her, she inherited your acting skills. It's a waste for her to pursue an education in medicine. She should enroll in a drama school where her talent can shine." Quincy's face instantly turned as pale as snow. Some onlookers couldn't help but wonder if Quincy would end up vomiting blood out of anger because of Callista. After all, Quincy was not as bold as Mirabelle. Even if she wasn't pushed to the point of vomiting blood, she wasn't far from it. She couldn't even cry when Callista uttered those words. Instead, she sat still, feeling incredibly embarrassed. Callista glanced at the flustered Benedict, who was standing to the side, before turning to Barry and, in a softened tone, saying, "It seems they're quite emotional. Perhaps it would be best to take them to the office for some tea to calm down. I must be going, I have a class to attend to. Thank you for your help," Professor Lockwood Barry nodded in response. "No trouble at all. It's all part of my job." Callista finally locked eyes with Benedict. Despite seeing the mixed emotions in his eyes, she left without uttering a word. At that point, Benedict wished there was someone who could offer him advice to navigate such a challenging situation. Everything that had unfolded today was overwhelmingly stressful for someone as image-conscious as him. While Callista's achievement had filled him with pride, her actions had also caused him considerable embarrassment. Although Callista sympathized with the hardships Benedict had faced in his past life and was determined to help him avoid such misfortunes now, she had lost the will to continue being a dutiful daughter to him. Moreover, she did have a class to attend. Emmett finally handed over the item that Quincy had given him to Colin, marking the end of Callista's examination. This time, a total of 30 people were accepted into the program. Most of those who came to take the exam were graduate and postgraduate students, so Callista, being in her teenage years, stood out among the class. Nevertheless, the other students, who were in their 20s and were considered prodigies by others, all had favorable impressions of Callista. Her assertiveness in standing up for herself and dealing with two deceitful women had propelled her into the limelight at the school's forum. Chapter 162. All Hail Queen Callista. Meanwhile, at the Fairchild's residence, Quintus, brimming with excitement, reported on what Callista did in school. His admiration for Callista intensified after he finished recounting the entire incident. "Mr. Callum, you really should check out the school forum. Even though Ms. Callista keeps a low profile, she's unavoidably become a celebrity on campus. She has gained quite a number of admirers, and her popularity is through the roof." Callum had just finished reading a document when he heard the news. Without hesitation, he logged into Callista's campus network, and the first post that popped up was about her. In addition to discussing today's incident, the original poster also shared another post highlighting how Callista had pushed Mirabelle to utter frustration. The post read, "Unmasking fake apologies, exposing pretentious behavior." The post included pictures as evidence, each accompanied by captions perfectly capturing the scene. They illustrated how Callista powerfully counterattacked step by step and withstood the pressure of public opinion in the end. They depicted how she pushed Mirabelle to the brink with just a banknote. As Callum observed, his lips curled up slightly, reflecting the resentment and frustration Mirabelle must have felt at that time just by looking at the images. Moreover, the Yost family had the sensibility to eventually send Mirabelle to prison without resorting to any underhanded tactics. "How's Mirabelle?" Callum asked casually, his feelings toward the woman, who had deceived him for 9 years and still sought to harm Callista, nothing but disgust. Quintus replied, "The Yost family spent a hefty sum to ensure Mirabelle has a cell to herself. They've also made arrangements to make her stay more comfortable. She shouldn't be all right." Nonetheless, there was no way for Mirabelle to completely evade hardship. After all, any kind of unexpected incident could occur behind bars. Callum gave a slight nod, his attention primarily focused on the comments that followed. "Queen Callista is just too cool. I want her to be the mother to my children." This comment garnered the most upvotes, and regardless of gender, a multitude of people liked and replied to it, reflecting the fervor of fans chasing after their favorite celebrities. The corners of Callum's mouth suddenly tightened. A commenter, with the emoji of starry-eyed admiration, wrote, "I was right there. Queen Callista's aura was simply unparalleled. When she got closer to me, I didn't even dare to breathe. I wish I could just lick her feet." Someone else responded, "You're disgusting. But I guess you're not alone who feels this way." Another person wrote, "You guys are such perverts. I won't stoop to licking Queen Callista's feet just because she has an icy cold voice, a sharp gaze, and a striking smile. That's 'cause I'm already on my knees worshipping her." A comment followed suit. "A bunch of dirty-minded men. What makes you think you're worthy of Queen Callista? Through her clothes." Imaginations ran wild, each one more outrageous than the last, causing Callum's face to darken progressively. "How dare these people fantasize about my woman?" Callum quickly signed up for an account. He furiously pounded on the keyboard and typed out a message, "Callista is mine. You can admire her all you want, but don't you dare harbor any thoughts or make any moves on her. I mean what I said, and there will be dire consequences if you don't heed my warning." The bustling forum quieted for a moment before exploding into another round of commotion. A netizen retaliated, "Callie's man? Who is he? He's got some nerve to call Queen Callista his woman. Has he no shame?" Someone else echoed, "What's with that expression? Acting all high and mighty like some overbearing CEO, what's your game? Have you been daydreaming so much that you actually believe you're above us all?" Another person chided, "Outrageous. How dare he call himself Callie's man? I should call myself Callie's woman too." Callum erupted with rage, astounded by the audacity of these people. "Callista is clearly mine. How could they shamelessly claim her as their own?" Quintus sweated bullets as he watched from the side. To divert attention, he quickly flipped to another post on his tablet and handed it over, ingratiatingly saying, "Mr. Callum, don't bother with those ignorant students. Look, this is today's post. Ms. Callista is really popular." Callum began to feel it was pointless to argue with them. He swallowed his anger, tossed the notebook aside, and took a look at the tablet. The title of the post read, "The Stepmother and Sister Duo's Embarrassment, Witness Queen Callista's Triumph." Initially, Callum was engrossed in the images and subtitles. His expression gradually settled into calmness, finally giving way to a hint of a smile. He watched how Callista cornered Benedict until he was at a loss for words, and how she drove Quincy out of school. Feeling proud, he couldn't help but acknowledge how formidable Callista was, clearly outshining all other women who paled in comparison. "How can I let her deal with such atrocities by herself? I must recover as soon as possible. It's time for me to shine." Callum couldn't stop smirking as he scrolled through the comments. One of the comments wrote, "I'm off to warm up the bed for Queen Callista now. Bye." Another person added, "I'm off to give Queen Callista a leg massage. See you." The next comment followed suit, "And I'm going to make Queen Callista some soup. She has had a long day." Imagination ran wild when someone wrote, "I want to dress Queen Callista. She has such an exceptional figure." The final comment appeared under the post, "I don't need anything. I just want Queen Callista to carry my children." With a loud smack, Callum abruptly closed his tablet on his lap, hoping to turn a blind eye to the things he her bed every day, and she even massages. Chapter 163. Stop acting like a pervert. Still feeling unsatisfied, Callum fired off a few more sentences. His arrogance and dominance were apparent from the get-go, enough to draw people's ire. That subsequently led to the whole forum turning against him. It was tough for Callum to take on so many. Coldly looking at their relentless counter-attacks, he suddenly broke into a quiet laugh and lifted his head to look at Quintus. "Those from Bayview University are all future social elites, so how can they indulge in trivial matters and lose their sense of purpose? This campus forum is quite toxic, it'd be better to shut it down." Hearing this, Quintus, drenched in cold sweat, hastily made a phone call. Strangely, the campus forum crashed minutes later. By the time it was fixed, posts that were not related to announcements or academics were no longer allowed, leading to a wave of complaints and protests from many. A devilish grin crossed Callum's face. "Trying to compete with me? Callie is mine." Callista returned to see that scene. "Callum looks like he's in a good mood today, huh?" T.I. Seeing her return, Callum quickly sent away everyone attending to him in the room. Being quite sharp-witted, Quintus had some fruit, flavored coffee and snacks served. Callista settled into the single, cedar couch, sinking into its comfort. She let out a satisfied sigh. "Finally, it's taken care of." A hint of a smile finally graced her face at this point as she announced proudly, "I got accepted into the combined master's and doctoral program." Callum poured her a cup of coffee, looking proud. "I knew you could do it." Callista looked at him, somewhat baffled. "I didn't realize you trusted me that much." Callum brought the cup of perfectly warmed fruit, flavored coffee to Callista's lips, his tone brimming with affection and his gaze unintentionally tender. "As long as it's you, I'd have trust." Callista felt a bit at a loss. Initially, to her, Callum was like a high and mighty divine being, who subsequently became a somewhat awkward young master. But now, he always seemed to unintentionally show an indulgent attitude toward her. It was as though she could do whatever she wanted, and he would be there to let her have her way. She blinked and couldn't help but ask, "Is this a perk of being a younger sister?" A smirk played on Callum's lips. "This is a privilege only you're entitled to. Have some coffee," he said. Callista took a sip from the cup in his hand. The warm latte, rich with a fruit aroma, slid down into her stomach. She wasn't fond of drinking milk, always finding that it had a weird taste, perhaps because of her sharp sense of smell. As such, Callum came up with all sorts of ways to get her to drink milk without feeling disgusted by it. A pervert warmth of the room, but her words were laced with determination about how she would only see him as a brotherly figure no matter how wonderful he was. Callum took a sip from the cup she had just drunk from. That ambiguous action, or an indirect kiss, left Callista slightly wide-eyed, yet all he did was laugh. "I'd only take care of you." "Ugh." Callista pursed her lips. "I can't stay in here any longer." Isles just killing the conversation, however, she didn't know where else she could go, apart from this room. Silas was not at home and Wanda had also been fairly busy recently. In the over 5,000 square feet massive mansion, she and Callum were the only main occupants. Besides, she had the responsibility to look after him at night and couldn't leave him alone for too long as there might be accidents. "I'll go take a shower. Just press the alarm if there's anything." Callista got up and strode toward the bathroom. Callum nodded. "Go ahead, I've had someone prepare the bath for you." That peculiar sensation surfaced again. When she turned to look at him, he was casually seated on the couch, with one hand propped on his chin and his gaze fixated on her with his head slightly tilted upward. Even though he was seated, his tall and slender figure exuded a dominant aura. Not to mention his strikingly profound features and his violet eyes that seemed to sparkle with an electrifying intensity. The room was filled with a palpable, stirring sense of masculinity that inexplicably made Callista swallow nervously. "What's the matter?" Callum flashed a smirk. "Too tired to undress yourself? I'd be more than happy to help out." Callista shivered under his intensely predatory gaze. "Did I just get teased?" "No need." After firmly rejecting him, she immediately retreated to the bathroom, intending to thoroughly wash away the inexplicable thoughts that had suddenly sprung up in her mind. After Callista left for the bathroom, a surge of impatience filled Callum. It felt as though he was repeatedly being tickled on the tip of his heart with a feather. Just the thought of what Callista was doing in the bathroom sent a tingling sensation through him as if he'd been electrified. "Calm down. There's nothing I can do. I've got to stop acting like a pervert." Regardless of whether he was deemed a pervert or a love-struck fool, he simply couldn't stand to bear Callista vanishing from his sight. He licked his lips, attempting to suppress those terrifying and twisted thoughts in his head. "I can't hurt Callie. Calm down." Calm down, unaware of what was on Callum's mind, Callista was comfortably lounging in the water in the bathroom, a sigh escaping her lips, the temperature in every corner of Fairchild Minivas consistently regulated, so she didn't feel cold. Even though it was already autumn, she could still delightfully play with bubbles in the warm water. The top floor where they were on was typically off, Limits to unrelated personnel. Entry and exit were controlled through a door, and if one were infected by the virus, the door would trigger an alarm. Fortunately, throughout their stay, the alarm had never sounded. Chapter 164. Crumbled self-control. Callista closed her eyes, her thoughts wandering away. The selection of a mentor was imminent, offering her the opportunity to identify deficiencies and gradually refine the thoughts swirling in her mind. As for the future, she had her plans. Once Kalima recovered from his illness, she intended to establish her own research center since she had a fondness for medical research. Of course, all of this was contingent on her dealing with those pesky individuals first. Images of her adversaries, both known and unknown, flashed in her mind, one by one. Callista opened her eyes, her gaze icy cold. Striking a deal with the Fairchilds is a wise decision. At least those enemies can't do anything to me for now. That said, I should still establish my own influence, in case I fall out with the Fairchilds in the future. It's unwise to put all of one's gaze in a basket. After washing up, Callista wiped her body dry, gathered her energy, and prepared to perform acupuncture on Callum. The thought that his life was in her hands brought a mischievous grin to her face. She reached out to grab the neatly folded pajamas. Huh. Callista picked it up to see. The pajamas she used to wear had always been of a conservative and adorable style, and it was clear the butler had prepared them. But this silk slip nightgown, isn't this a little too excessive? It's obviously too seductive. She glanced at the dirty clothes she threw on the floor, then picked up the bathroom phone to call Paul. Extreme guilt engulfed Paul. He knew Callista would come looking for him, so he had prepared his excuses in advance. See? Clothes. Oh. It's like this. Mr. Callum feels it's been rather cold recently, so we've adjusted the indoor temperature from 68 degrees Fahrenheit to 82 degrees Fahrenheit. I took the liberty to change the pajamas, and all the old ones have been discarded, he said seriously. Callista frowned. Buy some more clothes, then. I prefer the style from before. Sweat poured down Paul's forehead. I can't make that decision. We need to consult Mr. Callum first. For the first time, he rudely hung up the phone after saying those words, praying that Callista wouldn't call again. Indeed, Callista didn't call back. She stared at the phone in her hand, her eyebrows raised in contemplation, but eventually gave up, changed into a fresh set of pajamas, and started blow, drying her hair. She was curious to see what exactly Callum was planning to do. When Callista emerged, Callum's gaze was immediately drawn to her. The steamy mist had lent a touch of rossiness to her overly pale skin and her damp hair clung to her silk nightgown. The nightgown, tailored to fit her measurements, accentuated her figure perfectly. It was no doubt pajamas, but a rather sexy one. Initially, Callum merely wanted to have a feast for his eyes. Not being able to touch was already a severe punishment in itself, so he sought to comfort himself in another way. Little did he imagine that this approach would cause his much prided self control to crumble in an instant. His Adam's apple bobbed continuously, and only then did he remember that he had no self-control in front of Callista. Pleasure filled Callista at the sight of Callum's reaction. With a chilly expression on her face, she walked over, stood before him, and looked down at him with her arms crossed over her chest, exuding an air of regal dominance. "Is this outfit your idea? What are you trying to achieve?" Callum tried to divert his gaze, eventually settling on her face. Under the glow of the lights, her pupils shone brighter than a multitude of stars. His breath hitched, almost as if a hand had delicately grasped his heart. His gaze, no doubt, carried the look of infatuation. "L. I just thought you'd look good this way." His voice was extremely raspy. Compared to Callista's icy demeanor, his blood was circulating rapidly, almost like it was blazing with flames. Callista raised an eyebrow, her expression far from pleasant. "So, you want to look because you can't touch? Callum, aren't you perhaps a bit too desperate? Her high, pitched voice toward the end of the sentence instantly set Callum's ears on fire, and her calling his name simply sent a strange thrilling sensation through his entire body. "Have I been driven to abnormality by something that's beyond my reach?" Seeing Callum shut his eyes in frustration, Callista leaned in closer. Her long hair cascaded down his knees, a cool fragrance wafting in the air. "You look like you're really desperate," she concluded. Sure enough, the very next second, she was abruptly pulled into the arms of the man who was longing for her. He was breathing heavily next to her ear, and in a nearly frantic manner, he uttered, "Don't move." He tightened his grip, let go, then tightened it again. His voice was hoarse, almost as if being scorched by fire. "Let me hold you for a moment. Just a moment." If possible, Callista would have wholeheartedly agreed. In her opinion, Callum's current state of mind was perilous. He might have suppressed himself too much because of his illness, resulting in him having such extreme desires. It's normal for one to be more radical when their life is under threat. Some would choose to suppress their emotions, some inflict harm upon others, while others simply accept their fate. It's obvious Callum is the kind that chooses to suppress himself. The burden of his family alone has already left him gasping for breath. If he dies, it wouldn't just affect him, so how would he dare die in such a circumstance? And with that extreme repression, it's only right he needs an outlet to vent his feelings. So, from how things are now, it seems like he's venting it on me, huh? Perhaps it's because I'm the only one who's willing to approach him, or maybe there are other reasons, but clearly, this situation is putting me in great danger. Chapter 165. Complete Trust. If Callum knew about the nonsensical thoughts going through her mind, he would surely burst out laughing and tell her that what overwhelmed him was his desire for her, and that was why he could only vent it on her. It was that desire that compelled him to throw all caution to the wind to possess her and pull her into the depths of his obsession, ultimately descending into hell together. Callum held her even tighter, seemingly as if he wished to meld her into his very being. "Calic," he called out her name helplessly. Callista was being held so tightly she couldn't move, and the utterance of her name sent a shiver down her body. Her body tensed up. "What do I do if Callum needs a woman to vent his frustrations? I can't possibly offer myself to him, but finding him a woman is out of the question. What a headache." The two nestled tightly together on the single, cedar couch. In the utterly quiet room, distinctly hear Callum's ragged breaths and pounding heartbeat. Callista could, as his grip tightened, he cautiously explored her body as if he were handling some valuable treasure. The spots he touched left her trembling involuntarily, and she figured that if this continued, it would spell danger. Callista gritted her teeth and wriggled her body, but Callum only hugged her even tighter. No matter how many sweet nothings he yearned to whisper, and no matter how deep his desire, it could only culminate in a mere embrace. He felt as though he was on the brink of madness, driven to the edge by his longing for her. Callum. See, calm down a bit. I can't stay calm. There's no way I can calm down. Callista struggled to free a hand and gently patted his back. Calm down. If you're feeling uncomfortable, how about I accompany you to the gym? Callum didn't respond, but with Callista's gentle pats, his tense body oddly began to relax gradually. Callie, Callie. I love you. He mouthed these three words, not making a sound, but Callista's head was pressed against his shoulder, so she didn't see it. They remained in this embrace for over 10 minutes, sensing that Callum's physical reactions were gradually subsiding. Callista let out a long sigh of relief. Well, after being released, she sat on his lap, panting. She felt as if her bones were about to be squeezed out of she could tea help but turn back to glare at Callum, but surprisingly, she found that his face had turned bright red tunty it a little late to play the innocent newer you brute. Catching sight of Callista's condemning gaze, Callum surprisingly turned his face away in embarrassment. Slash almost couldn't control the surge of passion within me. Luckily, I'm still rational enough. I'll have Paul change your pajamas tomorrow. Callum had come to terms with his lack of self-control. To avoid hurting her in a moment of irrationality, he figured it was best not to hastily grant himself any privileges. Callista nodded, feeling that everything that had just happened was an unwarranted disaster. She could only hope that Callum would continue to stay rational. Although she wasn't afraid of the K-virus, she absolutely didn't want to experience its effects again. The acupuncture session that followed left the two in an even more awkward situation. Throughout, Callum had his face buried in the pillow, appearing shy. Callista couldn't help but want to sneer at that. The sick do have a lot of incomprehensible emotions, huh? Hopefully, old Mr. Yancey can quickly find a cure for the K-Firas, otherwise, I feel like I'll lose my sanity soon, too. Callum, who lay obediently on the bed, was actually holding his breath. Being unable to see, hear, or smell, his sense of touch was more than ever sensitive. He felt that he would go insane even before his death came because the mere existence of Callista was enough to drive him to a peculiar sense of pleasure washed over Callum as Callista administered the acupuncture. The way he allowed her to have her way with him, this level of trust and intimacy, was something no one else could ever achieve. Their relationship was the closest one could possibly be. All desires, distortions, and madness were forcefully suppressed beneath a veneer of calmness. After administering the acupuncture, Callista was extremely exhausted, so she retired to sleep after briefly instructing a few things. Energy to despite being held in Callum's arms and having to share a bed with him, she couldn't find the resist as she was too tired. But before sleep fully claimed her, She was resolute to cure Callum as soon as possible so that she could escape this room, for she was finding it increasingly hard to breathe. What she didn't realize was, that had she truly succeeded, she might not be able to escape that room ever again. The hour or two following his acupuncture treatment was the period when Callum found himself in the most comfort, with his physical pain miraculously subsiding. He cuddled Callista in his embrace, his eyes inadvertently straying to places they shouldn't. His emotions rose and fell unpredictably, much like a roller coaster ride. Seeing Callista so peacefully asleep, completely oblivious, was a testament to the trust she had in him. After all, what else could it be, if not complete trust, that would allow one to relax in the presence of a potentially dangerous patient? "I've really lost to you," Callum pinched Callista's nose, his expression blissful, looking. If it weren't for the threat of death, this moment would truly be blissful. Callum's will to live had once again intensified. He couldn't bear to die just like that, not because of anything else, but solely because of her. Callum planted a kiss on Callista's forehead, feeling almost like a sacred act of adoration. While they were basking in warmth and sweetness, a storm was brewing on the other side. Chapter 166. Study abroad. The thought of being expelled sent Quincy into a frenzy of destruction. "I've already started my education late. Am I not expected to retake and re-sit the exams? I doubt I could even pass them. Why is it that at the same age of 18, I have to repeat a year to prepare for my university entrance exam, while Callista can skip several grades to pursue her combined master's and doctoral program? A genius? What a remarkable genius." This time, Yelena did not bother with Benedict. She didn't see the point of behaving subserviently to gain favor when her only daughter had suffered such a blow. It would be better to comfort her daughter, lest she be so devastated that she couldn't recover. "Quincy, don't be upset. If you don't go to Bayview University, you can go somewhere else. There are plenty of good universities out there." "We're not sure." Quincy simply couldn't keep her cool. Right in front of Yelena, she flipped the entire dressing table. "What's the point of my existence? In a few years, Callista will be seen as a genius in everyone's eyes. I'm being overshadowed to the point of insignificance. Even Dad supports Callista, and Granddad won't back me up. I'm nothing but a joke." The sound of shattering echoed, scattering debris all over the floor. With a heart filled with distress, Yelena embraced her daughter tightly. "Don't be upset. Don't be upset. You still have me. What good are you?" Tears welled up in Quincy's eyes. "I want Callista dead. Can you help me kill someone?" The more Quincy thought about it, the more desperate she felt. The mocking gazes of those at the school were still vivid in her mind. She feared she had already become the laughingstock of the entire Horrington. "Quincy. How about this? You should study abroad," Yelena suddenly suggested, and the more she thought about it, the more feasible it seemed. "Callista is now favored in the Fairchild family, and she's conceited. We shouldn't confront her head on. Give it some time. Mr. Callum might grow tired of her. We can deal with her by then. There's no rush. You want me to flee to another country?" Quincy's voice was filled with disbelief. What about Granddad? Is he just going to stand by and watch me get bullied? Seeing her emotional state, Yelena had no choice but to reveal the Langley family's plans to her. Remember when your granddad was publicly humiliated by Callista last time? There's no way he'd let that slide. But being the cautious man he is and with the Fairchild family watching his every move, he couldn't make any drastic moves. But given the chance, he'd surely make Callista pay. Yelena said. Quincy's mood instantly cooled down when she heard that Callista was going to be in trouble. However, her expression still held a hint of distortion. How much longer? Quincy was growing impatient, eager to see Callista's unfortunate predicament. Yelena displayed a troubled expression. All these things aren't the crux of the matter. You're the important one now. You should first go abroad and further your studies. When you return, you need to surpass Callista firmly. That's what truly matters. Seeing Quincy's displeasure, Yelena reluctantly said, "When the time comes for your granddad to deal with Callista, I'll call you back, okay? Callista is quite malicious now. If you stay, who knows what she might do to you?" Upon hearing this, Quincy agreed. Who knows what else that ruthless woman, Callista, might do? All right. I'm heading overseas, Mom. You must make sure Granddad gives Callista a thorough lesson. A real thorough one. Of course. I understand, Yelena assured wholeheartedly, yet deep inside, a wave of worry began to swell. That's the current plan. Quincy has to excel on her own. Otherwise, that man might not acknowledge her in the future, even if he were to have no children of his own. Upon learning that Quincy was planning to go abroad, Callista didn't react much. She had initially planned to wait until Callum had recovered before dealing with those people. That approach would accomplish more with less, and there would be no more surprises. The Langley family and the Wilford family will no longer be my match in the future. After all, the Fairchild family wouldn't ignore the debt of a life saved. I'll just let Quincy enjoy her freedom for a little while longer. Seeing Callista's cold expression, Benedict couldn't help but sigh, asking, "Could you see Quincy off on the day she leaves?" Callista raised an eyebrow, drawing the attention of passing students who couldn't help but steal a few extra glances at her. She was looking at Benedict, surprised that he would go to school and make such an unexpected request of her. "I believe the last person Quincy wants to see is probably me." Benedict was skeptical. His temples were streaked with white, and recently, the chaos of family affairs had truly left him in a state of distress. However, he still harbored a certain kind of innocence and hope against the odds. Does a family hold grudges overnight? Both you and Quincy were at fault in the last incident. Can't we just let bygones be bygones? Callista scoffed, observing her father, who appeared both pitiful and naive. "Dad, constantly backing down doesn't always lead to harmony, and maintaining an appearance of peace doesn't make everything fine. The moment I crashed the Langley family's wedding banquet, my ties with Quincy and Yelena were severed. We're no longer one family." Upon noticing Benedict's furrowed brows, as if he were about to lecture again, Callista added in a rather cold, blooded manner. "You don't need to feel indignant on their behalf. In their hearts, they only see the Langley family as their family. Do you really believe they value you that much? You're just deluding yourself. When push comes to shove, they'll sacrifice you for their family without a second thought, and they won't feel a shred of guilt. When Callista pointed it out so bluntly, Benedict's face couldn't help but fall. Callie. Why do you always think the worst of them? There's a big misunderstanding between you guys. Yelena watched you grow up. Believe she still loves me. Callista couldn't help but chuckle. Seeing the discomfort on Benedict's face, she patted his shoulder and said, "Don't force yourself if you can't say it, Dad. I have to tell you that the Langley family already considers me an enemy. It's time for you to face reality." The color drained from Benedict's face. He brushed off Callista's hand and opened his mouth before closing it again. He couldn't utter a word in rebuttal. "All right, I'm off to class now." Callista glanced at the time and left with a smile. As Benedict watched Callista's retreating figure, he let out a long sigh. He wasn't clueless. He just yearned for the past harmony. There and then, he thought perhaps it was a good decision for Quincy to go abroad. The roar of a plane taking off filled the air as Quincy departed, carrying with her Yelena's admonitions and her resentment toward Callista. In school, Callista seemed to sense something, her gaze drifting toward the sky. A cold smirk suddenly appeared on her face. When she reincarnated, her only thought had been to end things swiftly, to eliminate the person she despised the most. At that moment, however, she had suddenly become composed. "Let's play a cat and mouse game." A year later, as soon as a figure appeared, the group of reporters at the school gate swarmed toward it. "Hurry! Hurry! Callista has come out." Callista was engaged in conversation with someone nearby, her demeanor even colder and more resolute than a year ago. However, the hostile aura that used to surround her had significantly diminished. Mainly because, over the past year, all the annoying individuals had vanished from her life, allowing her to fully immerse herself in her research. In addition, her dealings with the Fairchild family had kept her mind intensely focused on conquering K-Virus. She rarely reflected on her unpleasant past experiences. As a result, she was even more radiant and unstoppable than before. "Callista? Is it true that you developed Mach-39? It's reported that you're only 19. How did you manage to do it? Who helped and inspired you?" "Callista? Callista? The introduction of the Mach-39 vaccine will benefit women all over the world. With such an achievement under your belt, could you be the next head of the Stafford family? Callista, would you be interested in an interview for In Focus? The public has always been quite intrigued by you." Callista was just surrounded when two men behind her swiftly escorted her through the crowd, guiding her to a car not far away. It was clear they were some sort of bodyguards. However, upon seeing the car's emblem, the reporters hesitated to go after her. After all, this was the car of the head of the Fairchild family. No one would dare to stay in its way. This goddaughter of the Fairchild family was indeed well protected. Any reporter who managed to snap a photo and tried to fabricate stories would receive a stern warning from the Fairchild family, forcing them to erase the photo. As a result, since Callista became famous, there hadn't been a single piece of negative nor shout her name, no one dared to be the first to hark this trend. Chapter 167. A year later show it, her eyes reflected a significant amount of joy. Quintus, who had been with her for a long time, could naturally guess a bit of what she was thinking. Seeing her in a good mood, Quintus said, "Miss Callista. Mr. Callum is waiting for you at Haven Rock Villa. Today is the big day of the medicine's launch, and he wishes to celebrate this milestone with you." Callista was somewhat puzzled. "Why go to Haven Rock Villa? Can't we celebrate at Fairchild Manor?" Quintus certainly couldn't admit that Fairchild Manor was teeming with people and that Callum had long desired to have some private time with Callista alone. Hence, he answered earnestly. "Mr. Callum mentioned that the new medicine has been launched, but the specific response is still uncertain, so it's not appropriate to make a big deal out of something. He wants to celebrate with you privately for now." When Callista heard his organized explanation, she didn't probe any further. However, she did murmur to herself, "With his health in such a terrible state, why is he still running around?" Ugh. Although the research had been progressing steadily and Callista had been trying to prolong Callum's life, the inevitable decline of Callum's health was unavoidable. K-virus was too aggressive, and Callum, not being of her constitution, was essentially fighting for his life each day. The fact that he could still move around was nothing short of a miracle. The small car followed the only road leading to Haven Rock Villa. Surrounded by the azure sea, Haven Rock Island appeared like an isolated haven, bathed in sunlight and exuding a sense of tranquil elegance. Upon arrival, Quintus didn't stick around to be the third wheel. The entire mansion was devoid of people that day. Callum had also put off all his official duties for the day, all in pursuit of an undisturbed vacation with Callista. When Callista saw Quintus drive away, she didn't pay him any mind. Holding up her skirt, she headed toward the mansion. The delicious scent of food wafted out, making her realize she was somewhat hungry. However, as she reached the entrance, she suddenly paused in surprise. "Callum isn't alone here, right?" She hesitated slightly. "If Callum is alone here, could I leave?" The main issue was the strange sensation she had gotten from Callum over the past year. It was so peculiar. She would avoid him whenever possible during the day, but at night, there was no escaping him, no matter what she did. With a sense of hesitation, Callista pushed open the grand doors. The entire house was adorned in a dreamy mix of pink and baby blue. Colorful balloons floated around the grand hall, and a long table was laden with various delicacies. The aroma of wine and grilled meat filled the air. Beyond the windows was a beach and the vast sea. Despite the beautiful atmosphere, she felt a sense of retreat, for indeed, no one else was around. "Are you looking for me?" Suddenly, a magnetic male voice echoed in her ears. Callista snapped back to reality and turned to look, only to see Callum, dressed in a well-tailored deep blue leisure suit, smiling warmly at her. Chapter 168. Her True Self. "Dear Callie, I've been waiting for you for a long time," he said. Callista furrowed her brows. Not because she was overthinking things, but because she genuinely felt that Callum's choice of words was odd. "Didn't you mention throwing a celebration for me?" Why is it just you? Callum subtly raised an eyebrow, his deep purple eyes concealing a hint of danger, yet his smile didn't falter in the slightest. Who else were you hoping to see? Callista took a half step back, attempting to maintain her composure as she said, Ambrose also mentioned he wanted to congratulate me. Maybe do you want to invite him along? Callum's smile seemed to twist for a moment, but it was very subtle. Despite Callista maintaining a cold facade, she felt completely unable to suppress him. Hence, she pursed her lips, remaining silent. Callum suddenly laughed, his smile shimmering like the brightest diamond, illuminating everything around with its radiance. Actually, there's no need for you to be so tense. Callum picked up a glass of red wine beside him and took a sip with narrowed eyes. He was your first patient to recover under your care. It's only natural for you to feel a bit more fond of him than others. Callista let out an almost imperceptible sigh. She then heard Callum say in a soft voice, I just dislike the way Jared looks at you, that's all. Ironically, those two brothers were close. Whenever Ambrose was around, Jared was sure to be there as well. However, Callista was Callum's, and she was the only one he ever wanted. Yet, Jared was coveting her. Thankfully, Callum had always restrained himself and hadn't done anything drastic. Otherwise, a terrifying storm might have swept through Horrington. Callista let out a sigh. Just the two of us, then. Given your current condition, you shouldn't be drinking. After this glass, no more. Obediently, Callum set down his glass. He then checked her out and said, but you can drink a bit more. It's rare to see you so happy. This is also an acknowledgement of your abilities in the outside world. A hint of a smile appeared on Callista's face when those words fell. That's true. I'm really happy. At school that day, she maintained an unruffled demeanor throughout. It was only when she returned home that she could reveal her true self. Over the course of a year spent in close quarters with Callum, he became like family, like a friend, yet there was a slight distance between them. Unknowingly, he had become the person she felt most at ease balance, getting drunk in his presence. This drink isn't too bad. Crown Rus vodka. It's quite strong, fitting for your current mood. Callista took the glass, displaying an air of boldness, and drained the clear liquor in one gulp. Her intolerance for alcohol was high, so a couple of shots of strong liquor posed no problem for her. Once she had finished her drink, Callum selected another from an array of different glasses. He held it up and took a sniff. His act of lightly inhaling was refined and elegant, exuding an inherent grace that radiated from within. Johnny Walker Red Label Whiskey. Rich and aromatic. Would you like to give it a try? He asked. Perhaps it was the strong liquor getting to her, but when Callista saw him looking at her with a smile, she found herself inexplicably parched. Instinctively, she reached for the drink. Even though the glass wasn't filled to the brim, she didn't down it in one gulp as before but savored it instead. Are these from your personal collection? She couldn't help asking. Callum shook his head, a hint of arrogance in his eyes. No, I don't usually drink, but there are many who gift me alcohol each year. Besides, the Fairchild family owns a distillery, so our cellar is never short of good alcohol. Naturally, there's no need for me to collect any. This also indirectly showcased the profound heritage of the Fairchild family. As one of the Fairchilds, one had every reason to be proud. Alcohol could lower one's inhibitions, and Callista couldn't help but ask again, "Many people have their own hobbies, like my passion for medical research. What about you? I don't seem to have noticed any particular hobbies of yours." Callum blinked. "I'm really into you." "Huh." Callista suddenly became cautious. Seeing her gaze fixed on him, Callum laughed and pulled her to sit beside him. In a serious tone, he explained, "Right now, the only one who would come close to me is you. Apart from you, what else could I possibly like?" Callista found it somewhat peculiar, yet it seemed to make some sense. Just as she was about to say something, Callum reached out and brought over the third glass of alcohol, its distinct aroma discernible even from a distance. "This is Ricard Anise Ep. It has a unique taste and isn't too strong. Would you like to give it a try?" he asked. Callista had heard of this particular brand of alcohol before and was somewhat curious. She brought it over, took a careful sip, and found that she liked it. Therefore, she ended up drinking it all in one go. "Indeed, there's a strong taste of fennel. Intriguing." After a few drinks, a blush gradually spread across Callista's usually stoic face. Her eyes glistened, and even though she maintained a stern expression, she radiated an irresistible charm. At that moment, Callum found himself longing to kiss her captivating eyes. However, he restrained himself, knowing that the timing was not yet right. Callista nodded, feeling a bit dizzy at the moment. However, there was nothing to fear. Callum couldn't touch her, and his life was in her hands. He could only serve her. Therefore, while she might need to be worried around others, she had absolutely no need to when she was with him. As soon as Callista took a hearty sip of her drink, Callum, who had been somewhat tense, relaxed slightly. He moved a little closer to her, his eyes fixed intently on her without blinking. "Do you know something?" Chapter 169. Childhood friends. "Sometimes, you're like Spirinus rectified spirit vodka, so strong it feels like it could pierce through someone." Callum spoke, and to her surprise, he actually took a sip of the alcohol. Under Callista's slightly intoxicated gaze, he suddenly kissed her lips. It was a gentle touch, yet his breath was even hotter than the alcohol. "You," Callista suddenly felt that something was OLL, but the alcohol had numbed her senses, making it impossible for her to react. Coupled with her implicit trust in Callum, she found herself not pulling away when he kissed her. Callum raised his eyebrows and smiled. His fingertips gently brushed against her face. He slowly said, "Sometimes, you remind me of a botrytis, affected wine, sweet with a hint of sourness, rich and lingering. One taste of you, and it's hard to forget." Initially, Callista had no idea what he was up to that day. Her eyes were solely focused on the botrytis-affected wine he had brought out. However, upon seeing him down it all in one go and then frown, she suddenly realized something and gasped softly. "Today is your birthday." A clear flicker of frustration flashed across Callista's face. Once upon a time, She had always remembered this day vividly. However, in her previous life, during those final years, she had spent each day in hiding, subconsciously choosing to forget everything about Callum. Moreover, in her entire life, she had never celebrated Callum's birthday with him. A year ago, he had his birthday in Lost Aria, a place she hadn't visited yet. That day, however, was Callum's 24th birthday. Callum was also taken aback. He hadn't expected that Callista would know it was his birthday. In the past, he seldom celebrated it and had never told her the exact date. Well, perhaps Wanda had informed her, but he was surprised that she actually remembered it. Callista's face turned even redder, her eyes brimming with self-doubt. How could I forget? I remember it clearly. How did I forget? Her thoughts were a bit muddled, her words following suit. In her previous life, she recalled Wanda mentioning that Callum rarely celebrated his birthday due to his busy schedule. However, he had a habit of tasting different alcohol on his birthday. Which was how she remembered it. Hearing her say that, Callum held his breath, feeling as if the joy in his heart was about to overflow. Could it be that Callie has been making a heartfelt effort to remember my birthday? I don't blame you. It's understandable if you've forgotten, given how busy you've been lately. That was truly what Kaiser felt inside. He was already overjoyed that Callista remembered his birthday, happier than receiving any gift or closing any deal. Callista took a gloomy sip of her drink, grabbing a strong liquor straight away and downing several glasses in succession. I should have prepared a gift. It was rare for Callum to get frustration from her indifferent tone. Seeing that she was genuinely drunk, he no longer restrained himself, letting his gaze reveal tangible affection. Due to the fact that he was in high spirits, he seemed to radiate light. You are the greatest gift. I don't need anything else. After he finished speaking, he couldn't help but yearn to kiss her face. Unexpectedly, he was stopped by Callista's firm hands. Callum lowered his gaze, and there it was, the most radiant smile Callista had ever shown, after all this time. Let me take you somewhere. As she spoke, she took Callum by the hand and led him outside. Callum was entirely captivated by her radiant smile just moments ago, and before he knew it, he was actually following her. Once they were in the car, she confidently said, "Let's head to Maple Tree Garden near Fairchild Manor." Though Callum had consumed some alcohol, his tolerance was undoubtedly immense. He drove steadily, heading straight for the suburbs. When she said Maple Tree Garden, Callum immediately knew where Callista wanted to go. Maple Tree Garden was where Callista's grandparents used to live. Later, he heard rumors that it had been burned down by an unknown person. At that moment, Callum couldn't help feeling puzzled. Why go if it's already been burned down? Perhaps now that Callie is drunk, she has forgotten about the place being burned down. After reaching Maple Tree Garden, Callista led Callum up the hill. Long, forgotten memories burst forth. And Callum vaguely remembered that, as a child, his mother had brought him to visit these two elders. Back then, a little girl of about 8 or 9 had also pulled him along, just like that. Back then, he wore a look of impatience on his face. However, they were still childhood friends. Brinkallum's personality was indeed very extreme. There was a time when any recollection would only him agitation and unpleasant memories. However, after falling in love with her, those memories transformed into their own unique, sweet recollections. He even felt an impulse to travel back in time and punch his past self. How could I have treated Kali like that in the past? I was truly blind. At that moment, Callista suddenly tripped over a protruding stone. Callum quickly rushed to steady her. Feeling the effects of the alcohol, Callista found it difficult to control her limbs. Seeing her in this state, Callum took the opportunity to get closer to her. He gently held her as they slowly made their way toward the small wooden hut. The sunlight filtered through the forest, casting a dappled pattern on the ground. An encompassing silence held the area, broken only occasionally by the call of a bird. As expected, Callista was indeed intoxicated. Her eyes sparkled brightly as she alternated her gaze between the trees and Callum, her mind seemingly lost in unknown thoughts. Callum suddenly had a feeling. It was the same when Callista was drugged last time, as if her personality had reverted to the way it used to be. Could it be that when she gets drunk, her dominant character will fade away, revealing her original personality? Could it be possible to ask her about her past experiences and why her demeanor? Chapter 170. An understatement. Once this thought had taken root, it spread like wild grass. No matter how close they were, it was never enough for Callum. He wanted to infiltrate Callista's life, to bind her tightly to himself. Naturally, he was curious about what Callista had been through. Unfortunately, he usually didn't dare to ask, always feeling that the answer might not be favorable to him. However, things had changed. "Where are you taking me?" asked Callum. Bewildered, Callista glanced at him. "I'm bringing you to my grandparents' place." "Why?" Callista shook his head, refusing to speak. "Why are we going there?" Callum moved closer, and to his surprise, he noticed that Callista seemed to blush. She didn't dare to look at him, and even the palm of her hand that he was holding started to sweat. I'm giving you a surprise. After she stuttered out her words, she suddenly let go of Callum's hand and staggered up the mountain. Suddenly, a wave of joy washed over Callum. Was Callista feeling shy? Indeed, she must still harbor feelings for me. With that in mind, he quickened his pace to catch up, his eyebrows arched in a broad, unmistakable smile. However, once she arrived at the wooden hut, Callista was taken aback. Tears immediately began to fall, even she didn't understand why she was crying. Back when everything was ablaze, she mustered the courage to burn all her bridges, not shedding a single tear. Later on, she didn't even have the slightest inclination to look back. Once it was burnt, it was gone. If it was gone, there was nothing left to see. Yet, when she was drunk, it seemed as if she had truly reverted back to her old self, far from the calm she exhibited when sober. She stood there crying so sorrowfully that it instantly disconcerted Callum. "Don't cry," he urged. He hadn't expected such an intense reaction from Callista. He clumsily wiped her tears, glanced at the ruins, and assured her earnestly, "Don't worry. I'll find out who was bold enough to burn this place down. When the house was discovered to be on fire, because Callista expressed indifference, the Stafford family merely reported the incident but didn't pay attention to the progress of the case. Therefore, up until then, there hadn't been any news. Seeing Callista so heartbroken, Callum wished he could drag out the arsonist and tear him to pieces. His tone was filled with murderous intent. "No need," Callista sobbed, wiping her eyes as she choked out, "I burned it myself." Callista didn't pay him any attention, but her sobs slowly began to quiet down. Callum, with a pang of distress, offered her a handkerchief. A sharp glint flashed momentarily in his purple eyes. "Why did you burn it in the first place if you couldn't bear to part with it?" Callista gradually stopped crying. She used a handkerchief to wipe her face clean, her eyes, red and swollen, fixed on the ruins. "Because I couldn't afford to be weak anymore," Callum, with his keen awareness, realized that he might be on the brink of uncovering the secret. His Adam's apple bobbed before he finally asked, "Did someone hurt you?" He then pondered, deciding to follow his heart, and said softly, "Actually, you can still live like before. I'll take care of you. Even if I'm gone, I'll ensure your life is smooth sailing." His tone was firm, yet Callista merely glanced at him, letting out a muted humph. "You despise me. As long as it's out of your sight, you wouldn't care about my death or how I die," she responded. Perhaps it was her earnest tone that made Callum's heart skip a beat, prompting him to immediately assure her with utmost seriousness, "How could that be possible? I would never let anything happen to you. Regardless of whether I can see or not." Yet, it seemed as though Callista hadn't heard him, giving him a peculiar look. "Forget about it. I'm already used to you not liking me." To Callum, that was nothing less than a colossal defamation. If he were sober, Callum would never utter words related to emotions. This had become an unspoken agreement between him and Callista. But then, as Callista was drunk and questioning his feelings, he felt even more terrified. "Callista, listen to me." Callum placed his hands on her shoulders. "I really like you." "No. That's an understatement. I love you. More than you can ever imagine." Bewildered, Callista stared into his eyes, yet it felt as if she had been pierced by a thorn. "Liar." Callista suddenly snapped in anger, slapping his hand away. She turned to leave but was held back by Callum. His gaze was intense, and deep within his eyes, there was a powerful emotion so strong it was almost overwhelming. "I'm not lying." He studied her with a complex gaze for a long time. In the end, his voice lowered, yet the weight of each word he spoke became heavier. "If I hadn't loved you so deeply, I would have certainly dragged you to hell with me. Do you know what torments me the most every day? It's not the uncertainty of life or death, but the dilemma of whether to possess you." His voice gradually grew hoarse, yet his expression subtly hinted at madness. "You great pain. If I could love you a little less, I would drag you into hell with me, disregarding your life or death, all to derive the utmost pleasure from you. Anything goes, but you can't question my feelings for you," he said.